Today on Movie World, as we're going to review a couple of smaller openings here in the US, the UK movie The Inbetweeners and Hello, I Must Be Going. It's time for Movie Wallers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Wallers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, the show is for you. I've got that Sunday night feeling.
Because it's Sunday night.
I know, but I'm tired. I was hiking today in the heat. So I'm all like stiff and achy and I don't know. I'm not ready for the week at all. I want my weekends to be longer.
I think we should have three-day weekends. We'd all be so much more productive the remaining 4 days.
Let's do what the French do. We should strike. Did you hear about the Apple workers in France? They all decided to go on strike. This is a complete non-movie wallers related topic, but the Apple store workers in France decided to strike because it apparently is traditional in France to get a 13-month bonus at the end of the year. Most companies do this, and Apple doesn't do it. So they all decided to strike and try and derail the launch of the iPhone 5. Which I have, by the way. Yay.
And that's actually the purpose of this story, was for Joe to somehow work in the fact that he got an iPhone 5.
Is yours on order yet, Yazdi?
13 months? I want 13 months.
The 13th month.
They want a 13th month bonus check in December, which Apple, as an American corporation, decided not to do. But the French workers are all grumbly about that. But yay, I got my iPhone 5.
Now you can watch movies on it.
I can. It's 16:9. It's 16:9 ratio, which is one of my pet peeves about the iPhone screen in the past, is that you had to go letterbox and lose a lot of the screen area. But now it's pretty much the same ratio as most HD screens.
And is it true, Joe, that the iPhone 5 has a different port for connecting so that your adapters and chargers and everything that you used up to now are no good?
Yes, that's a terrible decision there by Apple because all of your accessories no longer work. Now, they do sell an adapter. Very kindly by Apple, they've made an adapter for 30 freaking bucks, which doesn't have all of the connectivity. It's not compatible with many docks and interfaces. So they said that they don't take this decision lightly and that this connector will last them for the next umpteen years, which is, you know, I get that technology moves on. They've had this connector in place. But it's a real frustration to those of us that have collections of, you know, car chargers and docks and cables. And, you know, I've over the time built up lots of cables that, you know, there's one in my work bag, they have one in a suitcase, I have a couple at home, you know, they're lying around and I can almost charge my phone anywhere. So, yeah, yuck, that's really annoying. But such is the march of progress.
And I think we are two dyed-in-the-wool, you know, supporters of Apple to complain too much. I know I won't.
So. Yeah, yeah. Well, this isn't the Joe... And yes, the Apple review. So let's talk about what we're really here to talk about, and that is movies. So Yazdi, can you introduce our first movie of the week, The Inbetweeners?
Certainly. So Inbetweeners is the first movie outing for the British television show of the same name that began airing in 2008 on the E4 channel in Britain. It follows the awkward late teen years of four friends growing up in the south of England. Not quite on the lowest rung of the pecking order in school, and yet miles away from being part of the popular crowd at school, they are the Inbetweeners. The series is based on the trials of these four as they battle their hormones and their peers. Often presented in a style that is far from being realistic, the series, however, has won favor with viewers because of the often very funny exploits of these characters. In this first film adaptation, the four 18-year-olds head to Cyprus for a vacation, seeking all the usual teenage pleasures. The film is helmed by Ben Palmer, who also directed 12 episodes of the television show in 2010, and stars Simon Bird, James Buckley, Blake Harrison, and Joe Thomas as the four main leads of the movie. I've seen a lot of the episodes of the television show on Netflix, where it's screening live, but I haven't gotten around to seeing the movie. I know the both of you did. Rashmi, let's start off with you. What did you think of the movie?
Okay, if you're not a teenage boy between the ages of 15 and 46, or someone who grew up in the UK, or not a fan of the show, this is going to be a really difficult film for you to watch. I only liked this movie once we came home and watched a season of The Inbetweeners on Netflix.
Okay.
Joe?
Interesting. So, Yasti, were you a fan of the show? You said you've watched a few episodes.
I did. I chuckled and it was amusing, but I didn't get what was special about it. And maybe I'd only seen, I think I saw the first three episodes. So, and I just, you know, chalked it down to the fact that I'm not familiar with the whole British culture as much as others.
Yeah. I mean, this movie is one of those movies where, like last year's Submarine, which I speak about fairly often, it's just one of those very niche little movies in the United States that will only appeal to people, I think, who have a knowledge of British culture, who grew up in England, who went through what we call a sixth form in England, which is the 2 years immediately prior to going to university. I actually thought this movie was brilliantly funny and it was off the charts in terms of raunch, but I was in full-on cringe mode for at least a third of it. I mean, this is not tame stuff, and it's the kind of thing that I think, I guess the Hangover crowd would like this, but because it's so uniquely British and because the protagonists are so much younger than the characters that we see in the Hangover, their behaviors are all the more outrageous. But nonetheless, for somebody who lived that life, I guess I have to shamefully admit, I thought it was very funny and very well executed.
Yeah, see, for me, it's a one joke movie, and I think definitely an extension of the show. But unfortunately, in this movie, they delved deep into the grossest, rudest aspects of the show and slapped on cheap laughs. This was just too nasty and coarse. And all I can say is thank God I went to a girls' school.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, it does rely, I think, on some lowbrow gags for the laughs. But ultimately, I think what I liked about this movie, and I think this bore out once you watch the TV show, was that each of the characters had their own specific sweetness beneath this kind of caustic exterior. And I found myself liking each and every one of them. They were, you know, disgusting teenage boys for the most part, but each one of them had something that was likable. You know, there's a certain depth, I think, to the humor here, and it was obviously borne out through the fact that they'd been through three seasons of television show together. So these characters were very, very well fleshed out, and there was kind of a truth underlying all of it in its depiction of this adolescent angst and all the anxieties and all the insecurities that you have as teenagers. They put them up there and they exploit them for comedic purpose, but they do it in a very sweet way. You know, the love story that goes on, the you know, the guy that falls in love with the girl that he thinks his mates won't like, you know, there's that whole narrative there that I thought was just very nicely done.
Yeah, can't say it worked for me, Joe. I mean, I just, I'd say that the best part of the film was Simon Bird. I mean, he added the only depth I could see in terms of story, and his was the humor that I found the funniest.
And who's Simon Bird?
The main character, the nerdy guy.
So let me ask you this. I mean, this kind of reminds me of another British television show not too long ago called Skins, which was also based on, you know, the life and times of teenagers growing up in the United Kingdom. And I think the movie got a lot of ink for how frank it was and how open it was about a lot of teenage issues. And I think MTV even made an American version. So how do the In-Betweeners compare with that? I presume In-Betweeners is not trying to be that deep or that revealing or that frank about
any of these issues. I'm not familiar with Skins, so I can't really draw the comparison directly. But The In-Betweeners is out to be, you know, an outrageous comedy. I mean, I think very much that's what they're trying to do. But I think by the time they got to doing this movie, these characters were just so well-rounded that there were layers to all of them, and I think the movie made the most of that.
But there was no story, Joe. I think that's the thing I struggled with the most. I mean, I literally came out of the screening thinking, oh my God, I can't believe I wasted that amount of my life. And like I said, it's only when I watched some of the shows that it kind of added the depth that you needed. So I think in terms of, you know, we're reviewing a film, and as a standalone film, it falls really badly. If you're just going in to see this as a film, I don't think it's going to work for most people.
I have to say.
But if you're watching it because you like the show, then I think you'll get a lot more out of it.
I'm going to both agree and disagree with you on those points. I mean, I think as a standalone movie, it does work because I went in there cold. I was not familiar with the show. I hadn't seen a single episode of it and I knew nothing about it. So I was completely blind. And yet I found myself having had a fun time in the movie. But I agree with you completely that this is not going to calibrate very well to US audiences. And I think that's ultimately, you know, we have to acknowledge that most of our listenership is based here in the US and people who didn't grow up in England. So, you know, this is a very difficult movie to access if those again, you said it all in your introduction. There are certain criteria that you have to check. Right. There's a checklist.
Yeah.
If you meet Rashmi's initial checklist, then I think you'll have fun in the movie.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it is hard to recommend,
yeah,
universally at least.
Yeah, and sorry, Simon Bird is the main character, Will McKenzie. Okay, you ready to wrap this one up?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, I think I've said all I need to say, really. You know, for me personally, in terms of enjoyment, it was an 8 out of 10. I can't give that to our listeners and say that this is an 8 out of 10 movie. This is my 8 out of 10 movie. For many people, this is going to polarize you. So my suggestion here is if you have access to Netflix, watch a few episodes of the TV show. If you find yourself in tune with the humor, go see the movie. You'll get more of the same, notched up a level. If you don't like what you see, then this movie isn't going to be for you.
So I can't say I didn't laugh, but I think that was more out of reminiscent embarrassment. If you've seen American Pie, this is worse with British accents. I'm going to give this one a 3 out of 10.
Oh wow, that's brutal.
Ouch,
seriously.
I
caution that with my score having seen a few episodes and I'm looking forward to season 2. So we watched, Joe and I, after we watched the film, we're able to watch the entire season over a weekend. And I can say having had that background, I would probably give it about a 5 out of 10. But not having that, this is an impossible movie to watch. And all I can say is I'm really glad I didn't know you as a teenage boy.
I know. I mean, I was a complete nightmare. These four kids are basically all disasters. And that's basically what all boys in the UK age 16
I was going to say, I bet Yazdi wasn't like that.
At least I went to an all-boys school. But, you know, we were these little horrors. And the kind of stuff that we got into and the kind of stuff that it was more about what we wanted to do rather than what we actually did. But
right.
That's UK culture. Now, I'm surprised then that having watched the movie, you had any interest in coming back home to watch season 1 on TV with me.
Okay, so I basically thought, you know, I'd heard a lot from our UK friends about what a great show this is. And I couldn't believe that the movie was so bad. And so I just figured that I had to at least watch a few episodes of the show to see what we were missing, because clearly that there was disparity in what we were seeing on the screen versus what people were telling us. And, you know, these are people who we trust their opinions. So I kind of thought, well, let's give it a try. And I think it was much better as an episodic narrative than a, you know, the movie it was.
All right. Well, we will agree to disagree on that, but there we go. That's,
how many bananas?
4. 4 bananas for the in-betweeners.
Random bananas assigned for a movie that you haven't seen.
Correct.
All right. Moving on then, swiftly, before Rashmi gets too fed up, on to our second movie of the week, which is Hello, I Must Be Going. And I think I'm introducing this one briefly. So Hello, I Must Be Going features the fabulous, I'm going to say the fabulous because I think we're big fans of her on the show here, Melanie Lynskey, who takes on the role of Amy, who is a recent divorcee. And Amy basically goes home and seeks refuge in her parents' Connecticut house, basically following what appears to be a disaster of a divorce. So demoralized and uncertain of her future, Amy begins an affair with another man, which jumpstarts her passion for life and helps her discover an independence and a sense of purpose that she has missed for years. The movie stars Melanie Lynskey, Blythe Danner, John Rubenstein, Julie White, Dan Futterman, and Christopher Abbott. Yazdi, What do you think of Hello, I Must Be Going?
So last month on my blog, I put together a list of the most anticipated films for me in the second half of 2012. And Hello, I Must Be Going was on that list purely based on the trailer of the movie. There was something about the movie which really resonated with me. It's kind of a small movie, and I'm, like we all are big fans of Melanie Lynskey. So going in, I went into this movie with a lot of expectations. And let me just say this in terms of how my expectations were met or not met. There's a scene in the middle half of the movie where Melanie Lynskey's character, you know, she's just spiraling out of control. Things are going really bad. And, you know, she's gone to the beach and she slips over these rocks and she falls flat on her face. And she tells herself, where the fuck is bottom? You know, she says, you know, have I hit bottom? I need to find bottom. My life can't get any worse than that. And this just made me want to reach out and hug the movie. I mean, it is hard to do really funny right in the middle of like bawl your eyes out sad, or, you know, or drop a funny line in the middle of, you know, like an eye popping argument. And this movie does this remarkable balance between the funny and the dark all the time, constantly, and does it successfully. So, you know, I believe this movie is a singular achievement. I loved it.
Yeah, I think the film works because Melanie Lynskey is both likable and slappable in equal amounts in the lead role. But this is yet another pre-midlife crisis movie with females in the central role. And we've seen so many of these recently, young adult, Lola versus Bridesmaids even. Sweet and enjoyable, but nothing we haven't seen before. But I loved Melanie Lynskey, and that's the only reason I love the film.
Yeah, I enjoyed the movie too, but not like you, Esty. I think, as Rashmi said, the key factor for me liking this movie was Melanie Lynskey and her performance here. And, you know, there are some controversial behaviors in this movie that she depicts. She's no stranger to that, I think, having cut her teeth on Heavenly Creatures and the like. So, you know, she is a kind of a bold actress in terms of the choices that she makes here. And here was another bold choice. It could have been a really annoying character like the one that, Rashmi, you mentioned, young adult, Charlize Theron, played earlier in the year, I think. But, you know, overall, I enjoyed the movie. I think the problem that I had more than anything was the unevenness of the script.
Yeah.
You know, it accelerated, it slowed down. There were some contrivances and some leaps. So, you know, I think it all felt a little clumsy in terms of its execution, and that I could never quite get into it. I was really into her performance, and I was really into what that character was doing and what she was doing with the role, but I was never really into the movie.
Yeah, yes, you said a lot at the beginning. I think you're right. The story's good, and I think it does a good job of exploring what happens when life just doesn't turn out the way you expect it to, but it didn't go deep enough for me, and I know that's something you normally say. I was expecting a bit more depth, and all I got was mostly Melanie Lynskey being tired of her life, but I didn't get the depth of it. So that's where I think it fell down for me. But, you know, I love the relationship between the two central characters, and considering, you know, this is only Christopher Abbott's second movie, I think he was great, and he was able to hold himself against her, and I think that's a big plus.
Yeah, I mean, let's not forget that, you know, Melanie Lynskey appeared first in cinema, gosh, what is it, 2 decades ago,
right?
You know, in Heavenly Creatures. I could be wrong, but, you know, a long time ago with a very young Kate Winslet at the same time. They were both introduced at the same time. And so she's been in this business for a long time playing bit parts. You know, she was in Up in the Air. She was in, you know, 2 and a Half Men. And, you know, I'm glad that, you know, she finally gets this wonderful, meaty, delicious, contradictory, frustrating, you know, character to play on screen. And, you know, the movie is about her all the time. And I think, you know, she's one of those actors who is so not in the Hollywood mold that she makes it work. I think this would have really failed with somebody who was, you know, too much plastic or, you know, too much, you know, sculpted in the Hollywood way. And I think I love that this movie was kind of built around her sensibility and, you know, every bit of insecurity, uncertainty, despair, I think it really mirrors very well on her face. So I think if there is any justice in the world, she will get some recognition for her work here.
Yeah, but I agree with all of those points. And I think therein lies, for me, the problem with the movie, because I think what this actress brought to the role and brought to the script, much of which was done in terms of the way she delivered the performance, I don't think was there on paper. And I don't think any of the other actors had the opportunity to kind of, you know, show that there was more to their characters than this somewhat simplistic dialogue and plot. So I think for me, it was Limsky's performance here that really elevated the movie. And I think she brought more to the character than perhaps they had envisaged to start with.
See, I agree with you, and this is where, I mean, like, Blythe Danner was adorable to watch. I really enjoyed watching her. And I think it was wise to have that kind of subplot between her parents, father played by John Rubenstein. But again, you know, it just didn't go deep enough, and it felt like they were there to move the story along as quickly as possible so that Melanie Lynskey could have a bit of a break. It just didn't have the depth for me. I think that's where it fell down. But again, like I said, she was great to watch.
Yeah, I actually really liked all of the supporting cast. I mean, you talked about Christopher Abbott, who I didn't know at all. This is the first time I'm seeing him. And it's a difficult role. It calls for some degree of trepidation in terms of how it's handled. And I think he did a pretty good job. Yeah, Blythe Danner was very good. And so was Julie White. But I think in a way it is Melanie Lynskey's movie. It is, you know, they do support her truly. Yeah. And I think the movie deliberately had this lightness of touch. They didn't want it to be too heavy-handed. And so I think particularly in the early part of the movie, it might have felt a little sputter and stop. And I do agree that initially the tone is uneven. But I think once the movie hit the half-mark point, I mean, it just built, for me at least, in strength, you know, moving forward. And I think for most movies, when at that point the script peters out, I think this is where the movie really started growing. And I really like the second half of the movie, which in many ways bucks what you might expect in terms of a resolution for the story.
Yeah, agree. Okay, anything else? Okay, Joe, why don't you start us off?
Sure. So again, I think I've said all that I needed to say. I mean, the script was, the movie was competently made. I think it was funny when it needed to be, touching when it needed to be. And I think Melanie Lynskey, as I've said already, deserves much of the credit for how he felt about the movie. So I just felt it could have been a little more in more capable directional and writing hands. If you do get the chance to watch it, because I think it's going to be a fairly small release, then do try and catch it. And certainly when it gets its DVD release, I would run and grab a copy of this as soon as you can. So I'm going to give this a recommendation, 7 out of 10 overall. If you like Melanie Lynskey, I hope there are people out there who are also fans of this wonderful, underrated actress, I think. Yep. Do go and see this.
Yes, Dee.
So when the movie was over, I had this feeling of wistfulness and contentedness at the same time. And the only other movie which had a similar response from me was The Kids Are All Right last year. And, you know, that was number 3 on my list of the best movies of the year. Maybe it's the way I'm wired, but this sort of a small movie, which is about people and it's about only one character, which is funny and dark and trying to be realistic, it really resonates with me. This is the kind of movie I love. It may not be for everyone, but I think it's worth seeking out. You know, it's exceptional. I mean, I give it an 8.5 out of 10, and I'm going to back down to 8.
Okay.
I'm going to back down to 8 out of 10, but I, you know, everything about this movie worked for me.
So I was going to say, don't turn your back on this one, because this is a thoughtful film that I think you need to watch in the right frame of mind. If nothing else, for Melanie Lynskey's great performance, I think I'm going to stick with a 7 out of 10. Yeah, universal love.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice. It was a nice film. I mean, I do hope it gets some kind of distribution. I haven't seen it pop up on any local theatre lists. So maybe we can maybe do a little homework on that. But it's one that you should definitely catch if you get the chance.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know who Melanie Lynskey is, she's, I think she's most known for playing Rose, you know, the neighbor of John Cryer and Charlie Sheen in 2.5 Men.
Yeah, yeah. And also Heavenly Creatures. I think that was a great movie. Melanie Lynskey and a very young, perhaps not her first ever role, but certainly a very young Kate Winslet were in that movie, about the two girls that committed a crime. So That's a great movie. You should catch that one. Directed by Peter Jackson, who went on to do the Lord of the Rings series.
So unfortunately, this only opened in two screens. So about 2 weeks ago, it opened.
As few as two screens.
Yeah, that's what IMDb tells us.
Hollywood distribution channels, you suck.
Don't get me started. In the meantime,
I was going to say, I don't think we want to go there.
A movie out of nowhere, you know, gets shown in 2,000 cinemas every Friday. It's not fair.
It's such a shame that a movie like this is going to get such a small release. So I guess the best chance for everyone to see this will be when it gets its DVD / iTunes / Netflix release. But watch it, support it. We want more movies like this to be made, please.
And we want recognition for Melanie Lynskey.
Yeah, and so the three of us, when we were at the Los Angeles Film Festival, additionally had the advantage of seeing Melanie Lynskey talk in person during one of the special sessions. And I love the fact that she is who she is at that place in Hollywood where people expect her to be everything other than what she is. And I love that she's so resolutely herself and she's insecure and she doesn't fit the prototype of, you know, the perfectly chiseled Hollywood bombshell. And, you know, she has this off-kilter sensibility. And I love that somebody like her exists right now in Hollywood, you know, to keep it real in many ways. So again, something's right with the world that she's still in Hollywood and gainfully employed.
Could not agree with you more. All right. Well, let us know what you think. Mail at moviewallahs.com for comments, twitter.com/moviewallahs, facebook.com/moviewallahs. Do interact with us. We love to hear from all our listeners. So post on Facebook, send us an email, let us know what you want to hear on the show. We would love to hear from you more than we do. On that note, too many movies, too little time. So good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.